May I speak now in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So these two scriptures, I believe, are inspirational scriptures for community. That's what we are as a church. We're a family. We're a community that should work together, love together, and for the better mutual flourishing of all. The two scriptures talk to us about what church is, what that community means, and the importance of what the power of that community has in people's lives. How often is it sometimes something happens in church that will scar people for life? That's the kind of power I'm talking about. We can quite often do something that can really hurt others, or we can use that power to help people flourish and change. And power, by what I mean by power, is the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord within us. And that power, the armor of light that the scripture talks about, that is the right kind of power. And the only way we can keep that power in balance is to love. Love has to be at the center of everything we do, everything we say, and every action we take. Love must be at the center. Our scripture in Romans today says, "And any other commandment are summed up in these words: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law." If we can just love, everything falls into place. Romans goes on to tell us how to do that. Get rid of the darkness, the things that cause us to hurt others and to hurt ourselves, things that get in the way of living a godly life. It says to live honorably. We need to put on the armor of light, not just on a Sunday, but every day of the week, allowing the light of Christ to guide us in what we do so that we can build a community that we can be proud of, that can cause others to flourish and to grow in their lives as well. However, a lot of times people will skip the difficult part in Matthew. We all know that there are people sometimes that are harder to live with than others. It happens, we're human. And because we are a group of people who aren't related to each other as a family, we are a family in Christ. And we will rub up against each other and things will go wrong. We will fall out and there will be arguments or disagreements. If we have an argument, Matthew says, go to that person and sort it out. If that person won't hear you, hear what you have to say and refuses to reconcile, then it says take someone else with you so that you can talk it through and so that maybe you can have like a mutual person to sort that out. And it says if that doesn't happen, Jesus says take it to the church. And then if that doesn't happen, to treat them as a tax collector or a Gentile or otherwise ask them to leave. Now that seems really harsh. That doesn't seem like something the Lord would say. But it was Jesus' word. So let's think about what that means. Jesus, it's not what it seems. Jesus is speaking here. He is telling us how we should reconcile and live together as a community. It's not about rejecting each other, but allowing one person who is unwilling to sort things out can stop an entire community from flourishing. Eric Barreto, who is a theologian in America, he says, it requires that we address the inevitable conflicts that will arise among us. It is not enough to sweep them under the rug, thus allow them to fester and to hurt. Unaddressed conflicts can render a whole community unable to function as God hopes. But neither is rejection our first instinct. Separation is not taken lightly, even when it proves necessary. That kind of sin that Jesus is talking about here is a sin that causes one person sinning, causing others to turn from Christ because of their sin. And in the time that I have been ministering, from the time I was 16 and now I'm 57, I've never had to ask anyone to leave a church. This is an extreme example and only happens when there are people who actually come in to cause fractions. So I want to make that very clear. The church has used that sometimes in the past to excommunicate people because they did this, that, or the other thing. But this is only in an extreme case. But I want to share an example of what happens when this scripture gets taken out of context. When I was about 17, I think, we were in a church plant in America. I was still living in America at that time. We had a youth leader who was married and had a couple of children. And what we didn't know at this time, I mean, as always, things look good on the surface and you come to church and you smile and everything's fine. What we didn't know, there was some coercion and domestic abuse going on at home of his wife, even though he was the youth leader. So her, in what she felt she needed to do, was she actually started smoking marijuana. Now, I mean, it's actually legal. It's legal now in the state of Washington, but it wasn't then. And yes, it was wrong. And in fact, she got my best friend to start smoking marijuana with her. So that was wrong. What she did was wrong. But it was her way to escape what was going on at home that we didn't know about. But what happened, instead of helping her, her husband actually told the elders what she was doing. The elders went to her, and instead of going to her in love and saying, why are you doing this? What has caused it? Where does that hurt come from? How can we help? What they did was say, you know, you can no longer be a part of our church. But not only did they do that, the following Sunday, which broke my heart, they made her come up and stand in front of the church, confess her sins, and then right then and there publicly dismissed her from the church. I was horrified. That is the extreme example of how not to treat somebody in church. And that is the kind of thing that causes people to be scarred for life. That's the kind of power that we have as a church. When we make mistakes like that, it can ruin somebody's life. So we need to be careful. We need to be diligent. And Jesus tells us, when something goes wrong, work it out. Don't let it fester. Don't stick it under the rug. Don't let things go wrong. Because it's that kind of hurt that can cause someone to fall away from Christ. And I myself don't want to be responsible for ever doing something like that. So what seems negative is Jesus saying, don't let this go this far. Don't let people get to that point where they're hurting so bad. Find out what is causing this. And in love, restore, reconcile, and bring peace. But the good thing is, so that seems a little, okay, again, that's a bit heavy. But the good thing is, Jesus comes back. And right after that, he says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of us. So together, we have so much more in Christ. Together, if we pray, and things will happen. Not only does it say it will happen on earth, but God said, if you pray down here together, all of heaven will be behind you. If you pray that God will stop something evil that's, say, happening in our village, God and all of heaven will come and help in those circumstances. If we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and bring life to our church and to nourish it and to grow it, then all of heaven will back us in that prayer. What we do on earth, I know I've said this before, but what we do echoes in eternity. What we do on earth echoes in eternity. So what do you want to be known as? A person who loves, a person who wants others to grow, to flourish, and to be the kind of community God has called us to be. Jesus is showing us here the power of the church. That is the power that can be used for good. We can change people's lives through serving our village, through doing different things, for serving each other, helping each other in our times of need. We have the power of, as Christians, to bind those things on earth that will stop that from happening, and to loose those things that will let the Holy Spirit flourish. If we truly mean what we ask for, the Holy Spirit will let loose in our gatherings because he promised he would. It's not just words that we say. If we mean it with our heart, he will come and he will make a difference. And to me, if I've got all of heaven behind our prayers, I think that's a pretty awesome promise that Jesus is there. He wants us to grow and to flourish and to love and to be peacemakers. So the bottom line of all of this, as always, is love. When someone hurts you, do not shove it under the rug and let it fester. Because as it festers there, it grows 5 times bigger than it should have been in the first place. Talk it out. Let that person know that they hurt you. And if they won't listen, bring someone else that you can trust and into that situation. But let us not let anything fester. It will destroy you, but it can also destroy a community. Let us be a church that loves, that cares for one another. Let us put on that armor of light and bring life to those around us on a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and every day of the week. Let us care for one another. Let us be what God has called us to be, and let us use the power that God has given us to change lives for good. Amen.